All right, 1:30 news next.
Here's Jake with the 1:30 news.
All right, thank you, Saad. Thank you, Halo God Guy. Here he is, Ham.
Thank you, Milestone Air Conditioning, Heating, Plumbing, and More.
Well, after serving nearly 10 years in prison, Dan, former Dallas Cowboys wide receiver Sam Hurd has been released.
Ah.
Yeah.
How old is he?
37.
Possession receiver?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I mean, he was a decent player. I feel like when you say possession receiver, you mean slow.
I'm just saying that as...
because that's the way people always
describe. Can they use another pair of hands?
I feel like he was a big player on special teams.
For sure.
Was he... what was he in for? Coke?
Distribution of cocaine.
Yeah.
And it was serious, man. I don't know if you ever remember that. Is that former Miami Dolphins head coach or offensive coordinator Chris Forrester?
That might have been like Jubb.
Oh, okay.
What's that? That's Jubb?
Coach O.
Oh, that's Coach O.
Oh, it's not. Hey, babe.
We have that in there somewhere.
I've been thinking about you. Isn't it crazy? I'm about to go into a meeting.
Do you think he had as much cocaine as that bear had last night?
But I'm going to do this. More on that in an hour, Dan. At 2:35.
You know what his trivia bit is? Like, in terms of what is he the answer for a trivia question?
Sam Hurd or Chris Forrester?
Sam Hurd.
I don't, Saad.
His first NFL reception was Tony Romo's first NFL pass.
Wow. That's a good trivia question.
That is a great trivia question because he has two NFL touchdowns.
Okay.
Sam Hurd. So, for one of them to be that...
Well, he just said first
yeah, that was just a catch, not a touchdown.
Oh, I thought you said it was his first touchdown. Sorry.
No, just first catch.
Well, f*** me.
Well, he only had 53 catches. How about that?
Okay, that's not quite as exclusive, but still a good note.
Yeah, I guess I thought he did more. 75, 314, 121, and 120 yards. That's his totals with the Cowboys.
But I think, to Ty's point, like he was a big player on special teams.
Okay.
He was like a viable... He was probably like kind of like Cedric Wilson-y.
Yeah, his last season here, he was special teams captain.
Capitan, Dan.
We're in the sea.
And if you recall, he was locked up as a result of a sting operation in Chicago.
Yeah, he went to play for the Bears.
Where he had gone to sign. And it was... Dude, it was... It was not a small thing.
Well,
he was like the leader of a drug ring. Like millions and millions of dollars of money moving. Now he's out.
Probably signing for pretty cheap under the cap.
If you want the ultimate.
A lot of tread left on those tires.
I don't know. I feel like jail wears your tread out.
Do they list how much he made? What's our site for that?
Well, there's Spot
Over
Track.
The cap?
Over the cap.
You like over
well.
The cap?
When he left for Chicago, it was 3 years for $5
million. There's probably more money in coke than in special teams. If you do
tight,
it right.
Tight, yeah!
Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah.
All right, and one more story for you here. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission has announced the recall of over 1 million candles.
You just dumped yourself.
What's going on?
Number one!
You might have to reset the whole story because you might have dumped that, too.
The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission announced the recall of over 1 million candles that are sold exclusively at Walmart.
One of the cockiest dump and chases I've ever seen as well.
Me? Just now?
Just so slow and methodical. And
yeah, no rush.
Just well aware of what I've done. Kind of like... admired the shot.
Kind of stared at Dan for a second.
For yeah. a moment. Yeah, just a...
It was kind of a BP type swing.
Hey, it's Friday, bruv.
Yeah.
I'm
looking at that one sailing over the wall.
I'm here to not care.
So the reason I wanted to do this story, though.
Candle story.
Candle story.
Recall. Recall?
Recall.
That's weird.
After 12 reports of the candle burning too close to the side of the container, which then, I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, glass burn, but...
Yeah, it gets black.
Cracks.
Oh, I...
ultimately, it'll...
Oh, okay.
It'll crack open.
Do and then that's bad.
Do you think your wife spends too much money on candles?
We're a pretty candle-laden house.
We are so candle-laden.
And, I used to be a big candle guy.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I love the candles. But it, you know, just seems like
if you live
half
in
half of her budget goes to candles.
You
candles
take...
and cups.
Because I used to have a real small, it was like the extra bedroom, but it was my office in our old house.
Right.
And I had candles burning in there. I don't think it was just to mask smells or anything, but I did have candles burning in there a lot. And then when we moved out and I'd take the posters off the wall, that soot really gets all over. You don't even really notice it.
Oh, no.
Like, it didn't look like the walls were black until I was moving out and took pictures off the wall. I said that weird.
That's kind of like the... I heard the Musers talking about this the other day, like the dead skin on your mattress.
Boy, like, I don't know anything about that.
Well, if you try to move your mattress like 10 years after you buy it, it weighs
a ton.
More.
Really?
It's all dead skin.
Yeah.
Skin from you? I don't understand.
I would hope. What?
Yeah, I mean, whoever else is laying on your bed...
I don't... Well, but I don't understand. You take off your sheet and wash it.
Somehow it...
It your gets dead skin gets be under your sheet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Enough that it weighs more?
Way more. It weighs way more.
I don't buy any of this.
It does.
I'm telling you, dude.
I need to see a time-lapse camera on that.
On skin?
Yeah.
But it's the same sort of deal, though, where there's lots of stuff you do in your home that you just don't realize are, like, accumulating over time. Be it the candle or your dead skin. But yeah, we're certainly...
That's why it's good to move every 5 years. I've lived in our house now for 10 years, and it's too long.
After 8 years, your mattress practically doubles in weight from sweat, dead skin, and millions of dust mites.
Thank you.
Doubles in weight.
Yeah, dude. I'm telling you. The real thing.
Wow. Yeah, my mattress got a ton of fluid on it.
All right,
man. Like, shot.
Every 5 years, you say.
That's my theory. Just because I've lived there 10 and we have just too much stuff. The reason you want to move is
now... Can I say this, though? You're like borderline hoarder.
I don't think that hard.
You keep a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Memories.
I know. But I mean,
the reason is so, like, our, you know, the
heat,
attic space is
coming around the corner and get out of here in 30 seconds or less.
What do you mean?
It's a quote from the movie. Heat.
Okay.
But basically, I like to be agile. I don't.
No, your house is very clean.
Light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am reluctant to throw things away. But I wouldn't say hoarder. But maybe you would.
Wife more than you?
Be older. She definitely saves a lot of stuff.
Okay. So if you have an average and an above average, then combined, you're...
But I think you should move now and again just to... It's almost to clean, to, you know, empty out your garage, empty out your attic.
Sure.
But if you live there 10 years, now you just keep adding to the attic. You do clean out the garage occasionally. You never take everything out of the attic, clean it up, and then put everything back. Because you would end up throwing away half that stuff, probably. There's a lot of stuff we put in the attic is, well, I don't think we should throw it away just yet.
Maybe for another day, though.
We might have a baby crib up there.
Baby,
funniest thing that could ever happen to me would be Dan having a child right now.
Why?
That'd be great.
I just think it would, I
loved
think
having
it would
kids.
Be hilarious. Yeah, I know, and I think you're a great dad. Like, I legitimately mean that. I look up to you in that regard.
Little Dan Jr.
But you having a child right now would be the funniest thing that could ever happen to our show.
Well, that dried up bowl bag at home ain't going to help, right. so let's get some...
That's
going
to do it for the 130
up,
News
girls.
Today. Coming up
Dan
next,
McDowell.
Sod on the Stars. All right, we have 1 hour left in the Hang Zones week.
Made the turn.
Well, that was like 2 days ago.
Oh.
This is 18, bud.
We're on the fairway, 18th fairway.
Speaking of that, did you know that there's a golfer who is currently leading, I'm surprised I didn't hear this in the ticker, frankly, leading at the PGA National named Justin Suh?
Is that... No. I mean, I know a lot about Justin Suh. Like Suh, dude?
Very much like Suh, dude. Yeah, so... I don't know. I thought an interesting way into lead into Sod on the Stars. Well, Sod on the Stars would be letting you know that there's a golfer named Justin Suh.
I drove in trying to think of a name for Sod on the Stars, because we, of course, have Sodude, that kind of commonplace.
SOS, Sod on the Stars.
That's bad.
We could do that. I thought about...
That's not good, Ty.
Oh, man, come on.
Planting the Sod.
Better.
That's usually how I get people to know how my name is pronounced. I say Sod like the stuff in the ground because everyone says sad.
With odd.
It's S-A-A-D.
Do you do any sort of weird... I mean, your name's pretty easy. I mean, I guess you have Dan Daniel, but like for me, when I call a place, Kemp is somehow a very difficult name for people to mark down. So I always say K-E-M as in Mary, P as in Paul. Kent? Kemp? I'm like, no, it's...
Do they ever say C or a K? Because I'll...
Yeah, sometimes.
And that's kind of weird, too. But yes, I always do Daniel now, because if I say Dan, they would get my order wrong. And
right.
Yes, it did originate at a Chinese restaurant that they... would get my name wrong, but the one time I said Daniel, they get it right every time.
I had a similar experience at a sushi place where I said my name and they took it down, and then they didn't have the order right or whatever, so the next time I just said my name was Sam, and I went there and they asked for my ID to give me my food.
Oh.
Aye, bud.
But I would get Sam. If I say Dan, they'd
go,
Sam? Who are
we kidding here? You're not Sam.
You can go Muhammad. You're not going to get that wrong.
That's true.
You should actually just write down cheerleader.
Well, look at Jake trying to steer us back into the whole topic of this segment. That is a radio pro, Sod. Write that down and use that on your weekend stuff when you appear with EA. Try to calm him down. Was that you on the weekend show with EA when he was going off on the fans?
Yes, he was. That was me on with him.
And now he just goes off.
Upset.
Now he just goes off on Ryan?
Yeah.
Sod actually did turn me on to. So apparently EA does some kind of a... What would you say this is, Sod?
Podcast, side venture type situation?
Hot dog.
I don't know how Sod found this, but here's EA, who went off on the fans right next to Sod. He went off on fans again, I guess. They were talking about... maybe franchising certain players or whatever.
I'm not cheap. I just don't. Just take it from me. I'm telling you right now, it's nothing to do with cheap. If we were in the NBA, we were in baseball, we're talking about those sports, I want to give out all the money. Go ahead. Doesn't matter. Because guess what? There's no restrictions. But contrary to popular belief by these idiots on Twitter, and I'm calling them out, idiots on Twitter, there is a salary cap. Okay? I'm sorry. There really is. And guess what? Watch the Rams. They're about to get fucked over by it. Because guess what? It's about paying it like a credit card.
He'll say it.
Those are not lukewarm opinions
at all.
No.
He'll say it.
Stupid takes.
But I only bring that because Sod is EA's little buddy sometimes on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Sod, you are also your real job.
Sodded.
Or at least, well, you're wearing your athletic t-shirt, or excuse me, pullover today.
That's right. Athletic hoodie.
They give you that for free. You got to buy it.
For free. Every year on Christmas, we get one new clothing apparel.
You know what's weird is that on Christmas, all I got was fired.
That's what happened to you with the Athletic?
Yeah. And they took all my articles down.
Look at Sod feeling real
Sod
sorry
for you.
Sod got
your hoodie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was...
felt Sod feels so sorry for you, he just laughed in your face.
Weird year, but sure.
A lot of people, when they get fired, you say, oh, I'm sorry, man.
DMagazine.com.
Yeah. I think Jake is doing all right.
Anyway, so you cover the Dallas Stars for The Athletic.
Yes.
And we played some of this audio yesterday, but I'm going to play more today, or replay some of it, because Tom Gilardi was on a radio show in Canada.
Yes, in Vancouver.
I can't remember the show's name.
Weenie
in the Butt.
No, it was Halford and Bro.
Oh, that's right. B-R-O-U-G-H.
Yeah.
So he's talking about... He references his comments last summer. Was this where he... It's not the Jim Leitz ripping...
Oh, no, that's...
Sagan and Ben. That was a couple
years ago. Yeah.
What was his comments last summer, Sod?
It was just... I don't know. He made him...
Paraphrase it.
Yeah, he made two comments, one to me and one to another outlet, where he basically said that Tyler Seguin and Jamie Benn needed to perform better for what the money that they're making. That was the gist of it.
Okay. They each make $8 million a year, and he didn't feel they were living up to that. So let's hear what he said to Bro and the guy.
And so all a contract is a bet on future performance. And so that contract is either an asset or it's a weight. And I think, you know, I think that in the case of Tyler and Jamie, they've gone through stretches of their 8-year contracts where they haven't produced up to the level of their contract.
I would like to say, I would think very few people that are giving a long-term top of the market deal, you would end up saying throughout that whole deal, they lived up to that deal the entire time.
Yeah, I mean...
That's kind of goes hand in hand with giving out one of those contracts.
Exactly. In the, I don't know, entire landscape of sports, it might happen for half a dozen quarterbacks and half a dozen NBA players and half a dozen pitchers. I've never heard of it really being that effective of an idea for an NHL player, partly because it's such a physical game, partly because you don't end up signing that deal until you're already late in your 20s, and you gave them the no movement clauses.
And on top of that, it's more about the market at the time. Like, Dak wasn't worth $40 million, but that's what the quarterback market was. So it's not about your own performance or the player's performance. It's like Tyler Seguin was a top-line centerman in 2018. Doesn't matter if he was worth the $9.5 million or not. That's just what the going rate was for a top-line centerman, so you have to pay him.
And you know in sports, you're going to have a handful of those guys, but the way you offset it, is that you're going to have a lot of guys who are severely underpaid by
sure.
the market.
Exactly.
And that is set up by the league, and the players have agreed to this. So we don't hear about that, though. When Tyler Seguin is making $2 million a year and scoring 40 goals, you don't then say, oh my gosh, he's so overperforming his contract. Like, that's, the owner doesn't talk publicly about that.
Very true.
So that's when they can get their money. Then they do get their money. Anyway, let's continue on. Hit the wrong button. There you go.
And, you know, these are good guys. When I made those comments during the summer, you know, like, a little bit of the issue in a market like Dallas is that we don't have a media that really holds us accountable. they do to a point, but our media in the U.S. in a market like Dallas tends to be cheerleaders.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think sometimes these guys need a little bit of pressure and, you know, public pressure.
So is what he's saying, and we talked about this yesterday, that Ken Hitchcock, I remember him telling us that, Bob and I, many years ago, Bob, me and Bob, he told me. So me and Bob, many years ago, yes, he didn't think that the, if you played in Toronto, those players are kind of treated like Dallas Cowboys are here, to where at least the fan expectations are very, very high. Everybody knows what you did last night. If they see you at the, you know, grocery store, you feel shame a bit. If you don't, you know, you're not performing well, you know, there's pressure on you all over the place to be a good player, where the thought is that here, you know, we're just happy to have hockey and we like you. You're an athlete. You're fun. And that's why Ken Hitchcock was such a hard ass. I kind of think that might be an excuse for why I'm a hard ass.
Yeah, I also think it's fundamentally untrue that the Dallas media is cheerleaders, and I, you know, obviously I'm part of that, so I have an idea of that. I think what Tom Gilardi's biggest problem is that there is no media covering the Dallas Stars. That's the bigger problem. It's not about, are we asking the hard questions? First of all, I can tell you, I've been around this team, and you know, I mentioned this the other day, that during the season, I'm around this team more than I'm around my own family. Like, there is no question that goes unasked to them about why this player is playing in the lineup, why he isn't. Everything is asked of the coaches, and of the players. The problem is, fans think that if nothing changes, then the media didn't do their job. What you don't understand is, and this goes for hockey, football, Mike McCarthy doesn't get asked a question by David Moore and go, you know what? I didn't think of that. Now that you mentioned it, I'm going to make this change. Like, that's just not the way that any of these pros, professional coaches, athletes go. If you think that the outside pressure has an impact on the decisions that they make, it's just fundamentally untrue.
Is Gilardi, because he mentioned back-to-back, he said, those comments I made last summer, and then he said, the media is a bunch of cheerleaders. Is he trying to say, I made those comments so that there would be public pressure on the players? That was me.
Yeah, and probably he's also implying the fact that when those comments were made, the coverage of them was mostly critical of him.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, he made those comments to me. I met with him at the draft in Montreal, and he made those comments to me. I published it. It was all out there. The problem is, like, you know, if someone says that about Dak, then it's going to get a lot of play. Part of that, Tom Gilardi wants the media to do his dirty work for him, and I think that's just not part of my job description. Like, as an independent journalist, it's not my job to have the Stars do well or for them to tank or do bad. I cover the team. It's his job to put a product out there that is a winning product, and then I'm going to cover it accordingly or criticize it accordingly, which I do on a daily basis. And so I think for him, the other thing is I think when you're in Dallas, the cloud of the Cowboys looms so large, and I think Gilardi knows that. The other part of that is kind of on him. Like, he's on Vancouver radio. We have the rights for the ticket. When was he on the ticket last?
He's been on maybe a couple times in the past, like 4 or 5 years, really.
If you want to be Jerry
with us,
be Jerry.
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing about it too that strikes me as odd, and maybe this is just because we've gotten to know Tyler pretty well, and Tyler's now 30 plus. I've just never gotten the indication or the inclination at all that he's not trying hard enough because we're not on his ass enough.
Yeah, like, I don't buy any of that.
I just think there's something to, like, what it takes to become a pro athlete and the amount of sacrifice and work and courage and blood, sweat, and tears that it takes to become a pro athlete that, oh, what, some spare nearly 40-year-old with a gut over here is going to be the reason that you're like, you know what, I got to back check better.
It's kind of insulting to the player.
I think it's extremely insulting to the player. I just don't buy it.
So, and even when he's trying not to, he's insulting the players.
And when you really talk about it, like, you know, being around these athletes on a daily basis, I can tell you they don't read. They, you think they're playing a game every other day and then spending their free time reading what a journalist has to say about them. Like, they might see a headline or two. They might read a few stories here and there. Like, you know, if it's a big story. I know, like, Tyler, for example, when I wrote about his recovery, I know he read that story. But on
it's
a
like
day-to-day...
profile.
Yeah, it's a profile. On a day-to-day, how he played in the last game, he's not reading that story. And so...
because he knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, it's like I said, it's all about what you believe the job description to be. And I don't believe it's my job description to, one, be the best friend or cheerleader. It's also not my job description to be the opposite way, where I'm trying to just go viral and pick fights with guys on the podium.
Yeah.
I think the best example of this for me is someone who I look up to a lot is Tim McMahon with Rick Carlisle. He asked all the hard questions all the time, but there was a lot of mutual respect there that McMahon was doing his job and Carlisle was going to answer however he was going to answer. But Carlisle never changed his way of coaching based on what McMahon asked or said.
And Tim never changed the way that he was asking questions.
Exactly.
I mean, here's how I know that, and this is kind of a tease to 230 more than next. Here's how I know that, you know, hockey players and coaches are not looking at social media. Pete DeBoer didn't even know about Cocaine Bear. Stunned.
Yeah.
How did he not know?
That's been everywhere.
Everywhere. And somehow he didn't
We
know.
Live in a different world than Pete DeBoer, I think.
I feel like every single time I pick up my phone, I was being inundated with Cocaine Bear content. And Pete DeBoer is like, eh, no, I haven't.
What do you say it is there? It's a bear?
It's a bear. He did some cocaine. So we'll review that movie at 2:35. But coming up next, we missed it yesterday. We usually do this on Thursdays. It's our weekly look at Alabama basketball.
Tom Brenneman is our leader. Next segment. What's our review on Cocaine Bear? That's what you'll find out. Right now, though, we do have a sports apology, but that's not really what this is all about. It's our weekly look at Alabama basketball. Here's Jake. Roll, Jake.
Yeah, so this story has sort of been developing over the last couple of weeks, and it involves a player who, frankly, is probably going to go in the top five of the NBA draft. I don't think that's crazy. Saad is probably way more into college basketball than any of us. But Brandon Miller is, I mean, he's a prototypical NBA star in the making. He's a wing who can score at will. And he played the other night, Wednesday night, against South Carolina. I think he scored 41 points. And an overtime win.
I think the rest of the team scored 37.
I mean, dude.
So he's good.
And they're the number two ranked team in the country.
Because of him?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, he's an absolute baller. And he played in that game after he was implicated in a murder. Implicated because a Tuscaloosa detective testified that a murder that took place 6 or 7 weeks ago was committed with his gun, Miller's gun, and that Miller's gun was actually given to the shooter by Miller at Miller's request.
At the shooter's request or Miller's request?
I believe Miller actually reached out and said, hey,
you should take this gun.
Take this one. Not yours. And they let him play. And then he went off. So, I don't know. I mean, his attorneys, it kind of reminds me somewhat of the Michael Irvin situation, where we just have like such far apart versions of this story. His attorneys say he's not a suspect. He absolutely did not supply this gun. There are no text messages indicating that he was anywhere involved in this. He was merely like an innocent witness to this crime. But again, a member of the Tuscaloosa Violent Crimes Unit did testify that Miles texted the shooter to bring that gun that police say was used to kill 23-year-old Jamia Harris. Detective testified that Miller gave the gun to Miles while in the backseat of Miller's car, which was struck twice during the shooting. So there was like a back-and-forth shooting. And both parties are saying that one was retaliatory, the other is saying the same.
It's interesting because you can look at two different situations that have happened in the last week or two. So the Michael Irvin thing. Accused of quote, air quote, inappropriate behavior towards a hotel employee. Hotel kicks him out. NFL Network suspends him immediately. This guy, because that seems very vague. Like, everything seems vague.
Right. And
what does
no
all
one,
that mean?
And no one died.
No one died. You know, it was, from what we understand, a verbal exchange. And there was some, for that, it seemed like drastic measures. To where, now you go here, there is someone dead. A police officer is, not that they are 100% honest all the time, but still, testifying under oath that he was involved in some, in a higher level than you're saying. But I guess the difference is, if you suspend Michael Irvin, everything goes on as usual. You still have hosts for shows, and you can talk about the NFL. If you suspend this guy, you lose that game. No, no doubt.
You not only lose that game, you probably lose your chance at a tournament bid. Maybe not a tournament bid, but if you recall, this has happened a bunch of different times where, like, a guy will get hurt in February.
And it affects your seeding?
And it affects your seeding. Because even if you put together this record or that record, then once you get to selection time, they'll say, all right, well, that's not really the team that we're putting in here.
So is Alabama getting ripped?
Well, okay, so a couple things. He was definitely there. That part they're saying, they acknowledge he was there. Another guy has been arrested who is a former teammate, actually, who, you know, now they've kicked off the team, largely because he's incarcerated. There was a murder that took place. He was there. And a detective is saying, I've seen text messages that show this guy brought this gun to this shooting. Why would a law enforcement officer testify regarding a text message? That is not the same as saying, oh, I saw this. Like, sometimes you could, again, like you said, maybe a little bit fuzzy on the memory of, you know, this is what I heard, this is what I saw. They're talking about something that is going to be introduced in court as evidence.
Yeah.
A
objective
text
fact.
Exactly.
So this is even more than Boss Man Fat, who is in that?
I mean, that's a tough call, because we don't really know exactly how much Kelvin Joseph was involved in that murder. We know he was there. In this case, we know the guy was there, and we can be reasonably sure that he also provided the weapon. So here is their head coach, Nate Oates, before that testimony came out.
Is the situation just how comfortable were you with his proximity to that, and also if there's any NBA scouts might be inquiring, what would you say to them about that?
Yeah, I mean, we've known the situation since it's been, we've been fully cooperating with law enforcement the entire time. I mean, it's the whole situation's sad. I mean, you just think of it, team closed practice with a prayer for the situation today, again knowing that we had this trial today. I mean, you think of Jamia or family and Kane, really think about your son Kane that was left behind. It's sad. We knew about that. I mean, you know, can't control everything anybody does outside of practice. Nobody knew that was going to happen. College kids are out. Brandon hasn't been in any type of trouble, nor is he in any type of trouble in this case. Like, in the wrong spot at the wrong time. So we'll address it when I'm sure NBA scouts will ask, they do their homework, but yeah, I mean, I think the article that it came out, it also stated Brandon's interview, he's, you know, they're comfortable with everything that happened there.
Tried to raise a little force field by saying there's prayer for this situation.
And it's sad. It's just sad for the family.
I mean, we did pray. Why don't you think about the family?
Force field, yeah. We had a post-practice prayer. And yes, even though he hasn't been charged, I mean, dude, if an actual cop comes forward and says, I am testifying now under oath that this player brought this gun to this murder and actually requested for the gun to be used, I don't know how you let him play. That seems wild to me.
Certainly if it was the eighth man.
Yeah, no chance, right?
Yeah.
So this is from the broadcast Wednesday night. As again, I mean, he not only played, they listed him as an active member of their team. You know, and I think people were kind of waiting on that Wednesday morning. They listed him on the roster. They listed him in the starting lineup. The crowd had some fun, as college sports crowds will, as they were chanting.
Yeah.
Lock him up and guilty, guilty, guilty.
Yeah, that's just unacceptable. And, you know, people need to be enjoying how hard these teams are playing and having some perspective with everything that's gone around this basketball team in Alabama for the last week. How about paying respects to Jamiah Harris?
I mean, come on.
And her family and her young son.
Yeah.
By coming here, rooting for your team, getting lost in the game, but you know what? Respecting both of these teams.
Very well said.
Okay, so the idea there is that you are supposed to remember this woman's life by coming out and cheering for the player who provided the gun that resulted in her death?
Well, not necessarily just him, but you should be enjoying how hard these teams are playing.
I mean, they work so hard, you know, and that's really
what
it's about.
And you're diminishing that with these chants.
That is just the utmost of stuffy
old man
play-by-play guy decorum right there.
I mean,
there.
This is it's sad.
You know how you... Can you honor her, please? By cheering for his 38th point?
So what's the follow-up now? Now that he did play ball out, now he's... They've just weathered the storm? They move forward, or...?
Well, I mean, I think probably what's going to happen is they'll wait to see if he actually gets, like, charged. Which I think is very likely to happen.
Then they reconvene and hope that he gets charged after the tournament?
Yeah, and I mean, for his sake...
Is it local authorities?
Yeah.
Do they have any...
It was a Tuscaloosa detective.
I would think
detective.
Alabama football might have sway when it comes to the local authorities. I don't know if basketball does.
Man, I bet you it's
too far.
It's like any town and gown. If you have a big-time school that is an economic player in your municipality, they call the shots.
They're meeting with...
Oh, yeah.
College officials on...
I would bet so.
So when do you guys plan to charge him?
Their legal counsel.
Do you have to charge him right then?
Exactly.
You couldn't wait till... All right. Well, tune in next week for another edition of Alabama Basketball Today.
I was right, though. You should have been on South Carolina that night.
Did you highlight that?
Yeah, I told Donovan, I'm like, look, Alabama's probably going to win, but they're giving up like 10 points, and they got a guy who might be facing like a lifetime bid here.
All right, let's review Cocaine Bear after this.
Headphones on for that entire liner, but did you guys just hear what I heard?
What? We were talking about Titus off the air.
And yeah.
You tell me.
I think there's a chance.
You're a big Titus guy.
I like Bark Titus. I also... I'm very interested in ham pulling whatever it is that Saad just said. Ty?
I thought I heard something.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got to wait 4 minutes.
We do.
Do you know what he's talking about, Ham?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm interested then. So, shout out to the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema, the greatness that is, the host of our Hang Zone High Tea Movie of the Month. This month, Cocaine Bear. There's a comedian that I've seen on Twitter before named Scott Sice.
That's right. He does the customer service complaining. Like when people come up to you and they're like, do you guys have any of these in the back? No, we don't. If we had them in the back, they'd be out here.
Yeah, there's a variety of comedians that do little bits on the Soch, and I guess he's one of them. I didn't know he was in this movie, but he is. He is... Who is he exactly in the movie?
He's an EMT.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
He's the ambulance guy. He had to go jump into the ambulance as it was moving. And okay, so Cocaine Bear. Scott Seiss, before the movie was released, which is, I guess it's wide release tonight, we got to see the first showing in DFW. So you always have that to remember. Scott Seiss put out a message. So if you are thinking of seeing Cocaine Bear, I thought you'd like to hear this message.
Here's what you need to know before you see Cocaine Bear. Nothing. You don't need to read a comic book from 1978. The bear wasn't introduced at the end of The Eternals. If you've ever heard the words cocaine or bear before, you're completely up to speed. Don't come to this movie for a pop quiz, okay? As Nicole Kidman said, we come to Cocaine Bear for magic. And you're not going to see any articles after, like Cocaine Bear ending explained. You're just going to see ones that say, remember the ending of Cocaine Bear? We do too. It rules. This movie will be conservatively 1 billion times better than Citizen Kane. Conservatively.
Agreed.
Yes. Check your brain at the door.
You have no choice but to.
Nailed it.
It was a lot of fun.
It's at some point TC looked over at me. Our good friend TC Fleming used to do tickers for us. And he goes, boy, they're really delivering on the title.
Yeah. There's a lot of bear.
There was a lot of bear, and there was a lot of cocaine. Are you thrown off by how much Ice Cube's son looks like him? Like, it trips me out. Having grown up, you know, an Ice Cube fan, and now I've got Ice Cube Jr., O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him before.
I know, but I mean, only playing Ice Cube.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's in other movie, and they look exactly the same. So that was a bit strange. But
Ray Liotta's last movie?
It's got to be tough for you that...
That Henry Hill is...
That Henry Hill's swan song is getting his entrails eaten out by cocaine cubs.
It's okay. I'm on board.
And, like, he might be in 10 to 15 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
He's not like a key player by any means. Really, the only key player probably is Ice Cube's son and the bear.
Well, I mean, it's his cocaine.
True.
He's trying to reacquire his cocaine, which... So it's all based on a true story where actually a plane did crash and a bunch of cocaine was lost in the woods?
Yeah, so there was a former police officer, a narcotics officer, and lawyer, who kind of did what often seems to happen, where after he got out of the game, he got involved in smuggling. And it was his cocaine. Well, he was the one responsible for transporting it. And he threw it out of a plane to what he thought was like a drop spot. And a black bear did actually eat all of it. Now, everything that happens after that in the movie, I think, is pretty fantastical.
Yeah, but the bear probably actually died.
The bear died pretty quickly.
Right away. But yeah. I'm sure whatever morning show or radio show at the time did their little playlet for, hey, what would happen? No, what if the bear just went nuts and started charging up credit cards and, you know, whatever. And that's the movie that was written.
Yeah. And...
And
not to say too much, but he very much exhibited some of the signs of consuming.
Yeah, he would
kind of
go like have his downs, and then
then need more, and when he would get more.
And yes, it turned out to be that was his only existence or reason for living is to find more cocaine.
Yeah,
he could smell it from. I mean, he's a bear.
Bear.
The bear nicknamed not only Cocaine Bear, but Pablo Escobar. Escobar? It's a fun watch, man. I mean, it's pretty quick. What, an hour and a half?
Oh, yeah. It's perfect.
It
was kind of perfect.
It's the dumbest thing you'll ever see, but I highly recommend going to watch it.
Yeah. If you go to a movie called Cocaine Bear and then we're expect, I was thinking even during it, because we sold it out immediately. It's the perfect high tea movie of the month. It's what we're all about. Just the name probably made its money back. Whatever the production costs of this movie were, if it cost $10 million to make, you're going to make that back just because it's called Cocaine Bear.
Sure.
And enough people will just have that interest. Kind of Sharknado-ish. Sharknado made all its money right away because it was called Sharknado. And that'll get enough people that know what you're going for to be interested.
Did either of you get the 8-ball donuts?
I did not, but I appreciate Jordan's bits at the Alamo.
I did. They were awesome.
That's no surprise
to the surprise
at all.
Of no one, yeah.
He also had, like, he had a fake dollar bill on the table, a little mirror. Did you notice that?
I did not.
Okay, because we didn't get to our seats till it was dark.
Right.
And, yeah, he had a little...
He being Ham.
No, Jordan.
Jordan. Okay.
Jordan put him on each everybody's table.
Oh, wow.
What was on the table? Can you describe it, Ham?
Yeah, it was like a little mirror, like you said.
Something for cutting up, I think.
Yeah. Money, like a fake dollar bill that had the 8-ball thing on it. So, yeah, you could do your fake cocaine off the mirror.
Yeah. Jordan wore a bear costume. Yeah.
No, we had to do our bit. Shout out to father-in-law also for coming out. You got to meet Dale.
I met Dale.
The great Dale.
Seemed like a pleasant dude.
He's the best.
You're on board with father-in-law?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh. Very, very on board.
Your daughter died.
That's not...
Would he say that?
That kind of actually is what he sounds like, but he's also awesome.
She did die, would he say that to you? Or no, you'd say that to him. Never mind.
Yeah. He'd be like, why are you imitating me to tell me that I lost my child?
Well, thanks for showing up, Ham.
Thank you for having me.
All the support that you show our
Can I tell you probably the hardest I laughed because it made me think of a moment from when I was like in high school or college. It was very subtle, but there's a moment where some of the people who had found the cocaine and hidden it from the smugglers who needed it back, they're like, where is it? And they tell Ice Cube's son, obviously black guy, we hid it under a gazebo. And he's like, the F is a gazebo. And I remember my parents telling me, when I was like 17 or 18, we're getting a gazebo built. I'm like, I don't have any idea what that is.
So you had a gazebo built at your house?
Later in life, yeah.
Huh.
They're like, yeah, we're building this. I'm like, I don't know what that is, like, at all. They're like, it's like an outdoor structure thing.
Yeah, why would you build one? I don't even understand why you would want one in your
sit
yard.
In it, maybe? That sounds
It's
right?
like a deck not attached to the house?
Yeah, pretty much.
So you got to go walk into the middle of the backyard and
Sometimes
sit.
You'll have like a fan in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The F is a gazebo. All right, shout out to drafthouse.com. Cocaine Bear. Why Today Doesn't Suck is next.
The Hang Zone presents Why Today Doesn't Suck.
So... You just played a bad radio Why Today Doesn't Suck open, right? Just a yes
That's
or
my
no
main
question.
Man, Jake.
You did, right?
No, that was
That's
a
pretty
hang
good.
Zone open.
Play it again.
Uh-oh.
It's kind of hard to do. I can find it.
Once again, Bad Radio presents Why
oh
Today...
That is a bad radio one. I'm sorry.
And now, here are your hosts, Jake Kemp
it's okay,
and
Trey.
Dan McDowell.
People What's make up, mistakes.
Jack? We saw him last night.
We did? He looks... Fantastic.
Yeah, he lost like 60 pounds.
Yeah, I've been keeping up with Trey. I'm proud of him.
All right, real quick, here's
Not
him.
Me.
Thank you, Jake. Eatsy's Market at Bakery brings you Stars Apologist Dan McDowell.
Cheerleader. I'm a cheerleader.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. The father-in-law just being like, so do these people all listen to your show?
Yeah.
At the movie? I'm like, yeah, no, we actually have another one in Dallas tonight. Like...
We can fill two movie theaters.
Wait, what happened to you?
What?
He shaved.
I shaved my face. I got rid of the Ted Cruz.
He got a boyish haircut now.
Yeah, dude. I don't know what's
going
on.
You look like a principal.
Hey, guys, we're having a great semester. Let's continue the enthusiasm, and you know what?
Look at him.
Yeah. I heard him talking about it yesterday a little
Let's
bit.
Beat those Hawks tomorrow night. Why don't
See
we?
See you at the pep rally.
Your spirit wear.
I don't like it one bit.
Looks like you can grow that beard back pretty
quick.
It's
temporary.
Though.
Okay.
I'm just not going to go full Ted Cruz anymore. I can't.
See, he's been shamed.
I have.
Full Ted Cruz.
Well, either I get Ted Cruz or Killer. Neither one is good.
And your wife
Killer
gets Pelosi.
If he was going to get Ted Cruz, he would have to eat my son.
Yeah.
So here's the hard line. It's Bob, Ted, and Corby.
Dave. Corby.
Not cool.
And today's Friday, February 24th, the 55th day of the year. 310 days remain in 2023. On this day in 1938, the first nylon bristle toothbrush went on sale.
What they used before? Cotton?
Whoa. You can say cotton.
Don't know. It was called Dr. West's Miracle Toothbrush. I'll never use that.
One time is better than your finger.
Like hay?
What? Barbed wire?
What horse hair? What was there to use?
Yeah.
Oh, horse hair. Wood. Underrated horse hair.
On this day in 1988,
sandpaper.
The Supreme Court unanimously overturned the $150,000 award that Jerry Falwell had won against Hustler magazine and its publisher, Larry Flint.
Why are you looking at me?
He's your friend.
Yeah.
He was your best friend.
That doesn't feel like a large enough sum of money to go to the highest court in the land.
Didn't he ask you one time to call him daddy?
Well, it was a ruling that expanded legal protections for parody and satire.
Ah, yes.
Because
every team is still in it.
They would do the A-hole of the month. Wasn't that it at the in the back of Hustler?
That is correct, Dan.
Right next to Beaver Hunt.
It was a little that was the very last page. But I think before that was right next to it a picture of Jerry Falwell, and then it would be a story around it about somebody who was a big jerk. The A-hole of the month. And I think Falwell was like, "Hey man, I don't want that.
Hey man,
Hey,
man. Hey, man. I was just reading my Hustler, and I saw my own picture in there. I'd like to ask you to take that down, please.
Turn him into Biden.
Can't tell you,
and it wasn't even in Beaver Hunt.
Corn Pop, man.
That was the worst thing. The BH.
Oh, man.
Polaroids.
The worst page. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It might as well have been the deli with all the open-faced roast beef sandwiches.
What's wrong with you over
it's
there?
It's twice this week.
Well, that means to you too.
Good.
Can you teach him
I
how
didn't
to
talk
use
about
computer?
Roast beef twice this week.
Oh, that's what he's talking about, roast beef.
No, I'm talking about you.
He doesn't know how to
Why
use
Why are
a
you
computer?
Yelling at me? It's Friday.
What
We're
is he
friends.
Doing?
Fine,
you
fair.
And I are friends.
What's
Fine.
Wrong with your computer?
It rings when people call it.
Yeah, I know. It's
super annoying.
It's definitely the closest thing to Norm in his game.
I don't like it.
Yeah, and Dave, you got no space what? To talk, my man.
Okay.
Have you seen the Alex Murdoch doc yet? That's a comedy. Because Matt Birmingham just called me, you piece of garbage.
On this day, in a famous trailer, wedding yes. on this date in 1992, Courtney Love and Kurt Cobain. They still married?
No,
I think so, yeah.
She blew his head off about 30 years ago.
Allegedly.
Hell yeah, bro. Oh, off.
That's my guy right there.
Oh, no. This is terrible.
He pulls it all back together.
No, don't do that.
Not tonight, sweetheart. Give me that.
Yeah, Dan, it's not going to work for you this time, though, bud.
Oh, you turned it off?
Yeah.
Okay. Don't they have a hot daughter?
They have a
Frances
daughter.
Bean?
A daughter that refuses to do drugs because she saw what happened to her parents, and she's
Boring.
A wonderful, wonderful girl.
A lot of P1 birthdays. Hopefully we'll get to them all. Probably won't get to all your requests. There's just too many requests.
Now Ham's trying to FaceTime me. There's all sorts of bits going on.
too many requests. Like Marcus Farrell, he wants to wish Thomas Woodall a happy birthday. His request is a queef chant followed by a Davy fart followed by a bobgasm. We can't get these triple requests.
No.
It used to be queef. One drop.
Queef.
Right.
Queef.
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 Queef. Queef. Queef. Queef. Queef.
This other guy wants a TC ticker followed by a favorite Today and Dan phrase followed by struggling.
I mean,
like, come on, man.
Pick one.
So let me just go through these birthdays. Olivia Puente is 30 from her mom, Julie.
Puente.
Puente.
Tito's daughter.
Olivier or Olivia?
Olivia.
Olivia.
Happy Sir birthday. Lawrence Olivia. Sammy Schmelz.
Sammy.
Sammy Schmelz.
Now he just wants to be showered with praise for completing a half marathon.
Visit
look,
when are you run the other half?
I'm TC Fleming, and I'll tell you how the things are getting uncomfortable out of Cowboys State.
There are two things that have kept.
That was for Chris Radabaugh. He's 49.
I think it is awesome for those people that can't quite finish a whole marathon to do half.
Mm-hmm. It's like a down payment.
No cap. Oh, the big unit. It's his son's birthday this weekend.
In my stance.
Adam Newberry is 40. And the big unit himself is 65 on Sunday.
No kidding.
Man, unit's the best. Unit's got to be top. When all things are considered, top fiver. P1.
Now, he says no drop request. But he just wants me to tell Line 4 guy to let the effing game come to him once in a while.
Ooh.
It needed to be said.
That's a top fiver saying that.
Wasn't he
top four.
Co-hosting with Grego the day of the Kunkel incident?
Yeah. Because Grego's like, I need a buddy to be on the air with me.
Where were you?
Rafe can't make
vacation.
Michael Waits is 32.
Swish a house.
From Sammy and Charlie, we have my husband, Steve Joey Duncan, is 52. Leader is the Rant Revival. Request more Blake. That is from Julene.
Julene.
Colby Cantu.
Think she ever hears that.
Oh, my God.
It's Colby Cantu birthday from Steven Brunson, and we have Mexican P1, Celos. It is my birthday.
Is that Celos Green?
The Texas panhandle does not look like an actual panhandle.
I agree with you, Dan.
F those spares that you work with.
Is that an offer?
That's from Celo.
Rangers are up.
He says, Puros
Bust in Spanish. Idiot.
Well, how?
Well, that's not one of the seven words.
I am American.
Who lived in Mexico.
And I talk America.
Proud American. Hey, Saad. Good to see you, buddy.
Hey, Saad.
Oh, Saad. Look at Saad.
He's right behind me.
Oh, you kicked him out? We were wondering. Will Mino kick out?
He said he was needed, so I'd let him cook.
Let Saad cook.
Saad.
You know, I expect you to tell him when he does stuff like that.
I was engaged in a different conversation.
Spanish profanity?
Yeah, it's the F word.
Which one did you go with? Show it to me.
Oh, wow. Go right to the top.
That's what he wrote right here. That little thing.
Would does the FCC
I won't say that?
Everybody right.
Fine you for
well,
cuss words in other languages?
I mean, it was
we'll see.
Down.
Facundo!
So panicky.
What's wrong with that? You can say kundo.
I don't know.
I don't either, man.
Whoa.
Or is it undo?
Undo.
Let's go with that.
Everything goes now.
This isn't Frisco High School.
Whoa.
The Fighting Facundos.
That's what they were called when we first played them.
Other birthdays.
Hello,
we have
Frisco.
Roddy Beaubois, 35.
And they had one high school.
Yeah, it was tough.
What's Roddy Beaubois doing?
It was all fields.
Last I checked, he was still cashing checks in like a European league.
What is for sharks and stuff?
That was
Jerks.
Different yeah. prospect.
Eric Williams is 61.
Jeez.
Ham, why? I can't even get this thing off my computer, you D-ball. It's just sitting up
That's
there
a
as a
day
freaking
ball.
FaceTime.
D-ball?
Oh, he's FaceTiming
steroid
you?
Steroid talk?
You D-ball.
It just says Matt Birmingham FaceTime, and it's just sitting there.
So,
it's rebooting.
It
was like 10 minutes ago.
It's just
like,
sitting there.
He doesn't know how to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, who's the one yelling? You're the old man yelling, I can't turn off FaceTime?
I'm hitting decline, and it's not working.
He just has an open hand hitting his keyboard, trying to make it go away.
Oh, I got a bit.
To get out of hammer.
That I don't think is old.
Control-Alt-Delete.
I don't think this is old man-ish. Have you guys ever been listening to the Ticket app? You close out the Ticket app.
Whoa. Easy.
And then it starts playing. And you have to reopen the Ticket app
to
and
stop
then
it.
Close it out again.
Yes, I have had that happen.
Like it's like a ghost. Like I've closed all my apps, but here's Bob talking.
100% that's happened.
A ghost.
Dad,
you're trying to get away from me, bud.
I am.
Why are you stopping when you're listening?
Yeah, it does more happen with Junior stopping. Than anyone.
Ooh.
Floyd Mayweather is 46.
Wife beater.
Couldn't take on Ronda Rousey.
That's right.
Phil Knight, 85.
Pound for pound.
Brian Flores is 42.
Well, that was two guys who were courtside for LeBron's big night. His big loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Phil Knight and Floyd Money Mayweather.
And the guy from ESPN.
Why would they do that?
Shannon Sharp. Wasn't he there?
Puerto Rico.
Doesn't work for ESPN, but yes.
Puerto Rico.
What's he, Fox?
At this one, yeah.
Jeff Garcia, 53. Mike Fratello, 76.
Remember when Norm got in a fight with a guy over T.O. calling Jeff Garcia gay?
Yeah.
Is that the
golly.
Are you gay?
Yeah.
Are you gay? Are you gay?
What year was that, the bit you played yesterday with Donovan?
2010.
And Norm sounded so different.
Yeah.
It's like he's aged.
How about...
No.
The one that's been in my head...
Shut your mouth.
That I don't even know the start of the bit.
I can probably help you.
Okay, please do, because all I can hear when the room gets quiet is... He did not make $5 billion.
That's in there.
Todd Zeal?
Todd
Zeal.
$5 billion?
I think it was $50 billion.
Oh, what? $50 billion?
That's definitely in there, him.
Sammy Kershaw, 65.
Sammy Kershaw.
George Thorogood, 73. Rupert Holmes, 76. Terrible lyrics on his famous song.
He does not make $50 billion.
Daniel Kaluuya, 34.
Get out, baby.
So he didn't drag it out like
then
my memory?
Then get out, sweetie.
Is there more?
And if alive, okay, Dominic Chianese.
He's not. He's dead.
He's 92. Uncle Junior died?
Yeah, he died this past year. Hmm. All the Goodfellas and Sopranos all died this year. Every one of them.
Born on this day, now dead.
Wasn't he embarrassed by the fact that he liked to go downstairs?
Breaking news, Dominic Chianese still alive at the age of 92.
Oh, I Whoa. Thought he died.
Hey, E! News.
Still in hospital.
Who died?
Happy birthday.
Ray Liotta.
Oh, Paulie Walnuts and Ray Liotta, yeah.
Ham's grandpa.
And then we went to Bennigan's.
Did you know that the Uncle Junior bit was based on a real gangsta?
I think those are gangsters.
Gangsta.
No.
Also, born on this day, now dead, Abe Vigoda.
He's ignoring me.
Fish.
We were going to talk about...
Godfather.
I tried to engage you on Uncle Junior Talk.
We're going to try to talk about the Chin Gigante.
He was embarrassed
on Clock Over Content. Steve Jobs and Mitch Hedberg.
The act that he liked.
Hey, Mitch Hedberg.
Huh?
Oh, now he's... You said act and he perked up.
Yeah. Got him reeled back.
Dead on this day, still dead. I'll give you Henny Youngman. Goodfellas. He was in Goodfellas.
Take Look my wife.
That's right.
Please.
He was. Yes. Yes.
Don Knotts.
The great, maybe the greatest TV actor of all time.
Oh,
be
careful.
Shut up.
And Harold Ramis.
Now that,
the Ramis,
is greatness.
Don't overrate him.
The
that
anus.
Might be, don't overrate
that
a
might
Ghostbuster.
Be the greatest comedy writer of all time.
He wrote look at your favorite movie.
Look at the filmography.
Four.
I don't have time. It's too
deny
bad.
Deny it. You can't.
And it's the weekend. I know Line 4 guy. I love Harold
Caddyshack,
Ramis. I just
Lampoon's,
don't like that he
Groundhog
bagged
Day.
On Don Knotts.
Multiplicity.
Kobe's a Ramis denier.
Analyze that.
Don Knotts, plumber.
Oh, he did analyze this and that.
Why, Jacob?
That's right. Bye, Mino. Casting live from the